Our passage today from the Apostle Paul's second letter to the Corinthians is surprisingly challenging. Consider, for instance, what Paul says about his thorn in the flesh. He says, "Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness.'" Note how Paul says that he was given his thorn in the flesh. By saying that he was given something that is tormenting him, Paul is saying that he had to endure such suffering on purpose. And by using the passive voice for the verb give, that is, was given, Paul is implying that it was God, of all beings, who gave Paul's thorn in the flesh to him. That is, Paul is suggesting that God is deliberately causing him to suffer. And this is a troubling notion, to put it mildly. Now, when faced with challenging implications such as these, it is crucial to remember that although we treat Paul's letters as scripture, he did not write them with that exalted status in mind. Thus, here Paul is not making a dogmatic statement revealing how God acts in the world. What he says is not even a statement of fact. It is an interpretation that he is making of a particular experience of his. All Paul is doing is making meaning of something that has happened to him, like anybody else would. What that means is that, as one commentator points out, we need not embrace the idea that God plans our difficulty or suffering. We are free to not accept what Paul says as revealed dogma, but to understand it as Paul struggling to make sense of things, just like we do when we suffer. Now, today's passage from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians comes from a part of the letter in which Paul is defending himself from put-downs leveled at him by rival Christian missionaries, whom elsewhere in the letter Paul sarcastically calls super apostles. In our passage, Paul recounts his visionary experience in order to show that he can beat the super apostles at their own game of one-upmanship. But his chief rhetorical strategy is to undercut their criticisms of him by boasting all the more gladly of his weaknesses. So committed is Paul to this approach that elsewhere in the letter, he even tells the humiliating story of having had to escape the authorities in one city by being let down in a basket through a window in the wall. Needless to say, if Paul tried this approach at a job interview in our day and age, he would never be hired. We all know that when an interviewer asks us what we might consider to be one of our growing edges, as they put it these days, we want to answer the question truthfully, but without being too honest. And this, you might say, reveals an issue with our society, which is that we are socialized to minimize or deny the hardships we face. Consider the fact that nobody who asks, "How are you doing?" actually wants to know. It is a stock question, to which the stock answer is, "I'm fine," or words to that effect. It is like the fable of the emperor with no clothes. Everybody knows that nobody's perfect, but nobody wants to admit it. That we all have failings and suffer hardships is the elephant in the room. Now, another place where Paul is committed to boasting of his weaknesses is where he admits that God said no in answer to his prayers, and not just once, but three times. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that is, about Paul's thorn in the flesh, that it would leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." Paul is saying that God had revealed to him a paradox. By any conventional standard, power is perfected most definitely not in weakness, but in strength. What it means to be powerful is to have the capacity to purposefully enact change. To be weak is to be able to do nothing but suffer change. And yet, Paul asserts, God's infinite power is somehow revealed in human weakness. Now, it is important to keep in mind that Paul is not commending powerlessness as such. Paul is not saying, for instance, that we should tolerate abuse or refrain from helping others when we have the power to do so. What he is saying is that our strength is actually grace. It is a gift from God. Now, on the one hand, it may seem to diminish human value to say that our strength to act is not really intrinsic to us. But if you stop and think about it, to say that it is God who is the source of our strength, and that whenever we are weak, then we are strong, is actually better. If our power were innate, then whenever we display weakness, that means that there is something fundamentally wrong with us. By contrast, if our power is a gift of grace, then even when we are at our humanly weakest, God's power yet upholds and undergirds us. This is the sort of thing Paul is getting at. That we are upheld by God's strength, even and especially when we are weak, and that our strength is a gracious gift, means that even when we face experiences that we cannot and would not construct or choose, we always have the capacity to choose how to respond to them. In a way, in Christian community, we are free to share our hardships and failings with each other with an openness absent from mainstream society, because it is in so doing that we learn and grow from the difficulties that we face. Spiritual roots may grow deepest and strongest as we struggle together. Our God-given capacity to choose how to respond to and learn from hardship, rather than merely react to it, is one aspect of what it means to have been made in God's image. Now, we do not have to interpret our sufferings as gifts, as Paul astonishingly does. What matters is being open to learning and growing in response to our struggles. We can be assured that we are never completely without hope, never completely powerless, because the power of God, given to us through the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, is most active when we are at our weakest. The Apostle Paul says it best. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong.